Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you got back to work yesterday at Halas Hall, what was the message for this defense?
Let's just get back to it. You know, we want to get that bad taste out of our mouths. You know, unfortunately, we had to wait for a bye week. But, you know, right now, we're just back on track. You know, we're just putting them behind us and coming out. Now we got to make a statement game here at home.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Bears safety Eddie Jackson this morning on the Mully and Haas Show. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Now, we're so focused on the injuries here, naturally. Yesterday, we get the news Kyle Long is on injured reserve, probably done for the year. And then we hear today, that Akeem Hicks' elbow, that ugly injury against Oakland over in London. Now he's on injured reserve. They're holding out hope that he can return at some point this year, but you know that IR means that he's going to miss at least 8 weeks. He can start to practice in 6 weeks from now. Not good. Trubisky's missed a game. Bilal Nichols missed a couple games. Trey Burton missed a game. That injury luck that they had a year ago, not the same this year. It's starting to bite them. Now moving forward, how is it going to look? How healthy are they going to be? You already have two guys on IR. But you know what? This team that many are viewing as the best team in the NFC, New Orleans, they're dealing with some key injuries. Now, they've won with Bridgewater under center. They are 4-0. Their only loss this year, remember, that was at the Rams. That was a game that Breeze went down. I mean, Bridgewater didn't game plan. Bridgewater didn't take any reps all week. Of course, they were going to look terrible that game. But once Sean Payton, one of the best coaches in this league, knew Bridgewater was going to be the guy who's able to put together a game plan, putting him in positions to succeed, and look what we've seen out of the Saints. And let's not forget that defense. I mean, Lattimore's back to playing like a premier corner, like he was in his rookie season. So, Breeze or not, this is going to be tough on Sunday. The Bears are 3-point favorites. It opened at 3.5. It was bet up to 4, which kind of surprised me. And now it's down to 3. So what they're saying is the Bears and Saints are even teams on a neutral field. I can't buy that based on what we've seen so far. Bears get a nod because they're coming off the bye. Matt Nagy gets a couple weeks to prepare. Believe it or not, Trubisky's an upgrade from Chase Daniel. So there are some positive things on the Bears side. And also, back-to-back road games are very tough in this league. If you follow that trend, that's second in back-to-back road games, or if you have a bunch like 3 out of 4, usually not too good. So this is a really tough spot for the Saints. Last week, a lot of people thought they were going to lose to the Jaguars. They go down there, score one touchdown in the game, and they still win. So maybe you look to the under. Everything suggests that this would be a low-scoring game. But it isn't just Drew Brees on the Saints. Some other injury issues that they're going through. Now, a lot of people say running backs are replaceable. And I'll listen to that argument. And there are certain offenses that go through the running back. The Saints became one of those teams over the last couple of years. Drew Brees doesn't have the same arm strength that he used to have. So now they've become more of a run-heavy team. Everything goes through the running back, extension of the running game, through the short passing game to the running back, Alvin Kamara, former rookie of the year. Oh, that hurt me. Had Kareem Hunt that year, 25-1. How are you the rushing leader as a rookie, but you're not the rookie of the year? Should be a rule about that. Kamara doesn't look good right now. And he didn't play a whole lot. He played 39 of 66 offensive snaps on Sunday against the Jaguars. Tom Pelissero NFL Media reports that Kamara has a high ankle type issue. You don't want to hear that if you're the Saints. High ankle type issue. And he was added to the injury report last week. He didn't practice, but he ended up playing. Ended up playing on Sunday in a limited role. Also, there are reports this week that they're looking at signing a running back. Travaris Cadet, remember that guy? They're looking at bringing him back, former Saint, familiar with the offense, so they might bring him back. I mean, if we're talking about Teddy Bridgewater, who's played well, much better than anybody expected, so it could be Teddy Bridgewater, a quarterback, and you don't have Kamara, you still have Michael Thomas. He's elite. There's no question. How much is Bridgewater going to push it down the field? That's the big thing with them. See, with their strong defense, he hasn't had to score. He hasn't been forced to score a ton of points. So this is a big test for them, too, going up against a strong defense. That Bears defense, I will be floored if they look anything like we saw in London. Floored. For people that were saying, what was Nagy doing with the travel? Every right to argue that, because they look jet lag in the first half. Give up 17 points to the Raiders, and the Bears offense didn't score. 17-0. I mean, hey, the three touchdowns you got with Daniel, that was more than the other guy was doing. But it looked like that was part of the issue. I would be shocked if they have back-to-back poor performances and they look anything like that team, at least on defense, even with Akeem Hicks out. That would surprise me more than anything. Now, a low-scoring game wouldn't surprise me at all. Nagy's been preparing the script for this game for a couple of weeks. He also had that self-evaluation period. So it isn't just injuries with the Bears. Here are some key injuries over on the Saints side. It's going to be a great game. I don't know. Is it the national game? Is it the national Fox game? It should be. I know it's in that 325 slot, but it certainly should be. Like they thought a couple weeks ago, Packers and Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Oh, boy. They've lost. Rams and Cowboys have lost three in a row. Everybody hyped. Let's give Dak Prescott the MVP. Cowboys are going to be the one seed after three games against the worst teams in the league. Well, how do you feel now? Right now, you're outside of the playoff picture. Let's go back to this morning on the Mullion Haas Show. Brian Baldinger, one of the terrific Radio.com sports insiders, he previewed this Bears-Saints matchup.
They do everything well. I mean, they're the most exciting team to watch in football right now. There's nothing they don't do well. I mean, right now, that defensive line is an elite line. Marshawn Lattimore right now, 3 weeks in a row, he's shut down Mike Evans, Amari Cooper. And last week, I mean, he was all over the field, just taking whatever T.J. Shark, D.D. Westbrook, didn't matter. I mean, he shut them all down. And then he took the ball away. They're a ferocious defense. They'll go toe to toe with the Bears. I mean, I don't know if this game gets out of single digits scoring wise. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, offensively, though, I mean, the ball's going to go to Kamara. It's going to go to Michael Thomas. So, you know, whatever they do defensively right now, you got to figure out a way to slow those guys down because they're a complete team. They're a very good offensive line. Teddy Bridgewater has come in and he's held the ship just steady. They're, you know, no Drew Brees, no problem. Teddy Bridgewater's been just fine. I mean, he's not out of this world. You know, he's not going to take Drew Brees' place, but they won four in a row without Drew Brees. I don't know if anybody thought they could do it, but they play really well as a team. And so you couldn't ask for anything more than what they've done and how they've responded right now.
Brian Baldinger this morning on the Mullion Haas Show, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Oh, this is going to be great. So I'm looking, I mentioned it's going to be the national game. It's got to be. It's got to be because you have three games in that 3 o'clock window only. 3:05, Chargers, Titans. Oh, God. I can't tell you what the Titans are going to. They are one of the worst teams to watch. I guess, is Mariota going to be back out there or Tannehill? So the other 3:25 game is the Ravens at the Seahawks. Yeah, Bears-Saints is it, man. But the Seahawks, if you want to make the argument that they're the best team in the NFC, they have the MVP right now. right now with Russell Wilson, unbelievable. I'm sick of betting against him. I'm not doing that anymore. Just anytime you think they're not going to show up, there's Russell Wilson scrambling around, just throwing it up, and some receiver that you never heard of coming down with the touchdown pass. Yeah, Bears are favored by 3, and Baldy said it's going to be a low-scoring game. He's probably right. It is the lowest total of the week at 38. 38. What are we going to have here? 17-14 game? Maybe. Maybe. It's going to be a great one, though. A lot of fun. Coming up next, let's talk about Gabe Kapler. He was just fired by the Phillies after 2 years. And the Cubs are bringing him in to interview for Madden's old gig. Why? Just doing a friend a favor? Or is he a legit candidate? We'll check in with our friend Joe Giglio, WIP out in Philadelphia, find out why Kapler was fired and what you get in the Gabe Kapler managerial experience. That's next. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, the people who were telling me, you know, you have injury problems, you can't blame Gabe for that, that's the reason why you had such a bad season. Ultimately, I felt that if I were going to bring Gabe back, I had to be very, very confident that we were going to have a different outcome in 2020. And those September collapses were just, I kept bumping up against them. And I couldn't get comfortable enough, confident enough, that if I brought him back, we wouldn't have another problem. And therefore, I made the decision that I did.
You're listening to the Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Phillies owner John Middleton, after firing Gabe Kapler. So the Cubs have talked to a bunch of managerial candidates. David Ross, certainly the favorite. It was Joe Espada yesterday, the Astros bench coach. Then Gabe Kapler was added to the list this week. I don't know if they interviewed today or later on this week, doing a friend an old favor, putting his name out there. Or are they really considering hiring Gabe Kapler? Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Let's check in with our buddy out in Philadelphia, Joe Giglio. At Joe Giglio Sports, he hosts evenings on WIP. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Doing great. Need some Gabe Kapler information. I don't know if he's a real candidate, but I'm just trying to figure out what happened in Philadelphia. So why was he fired after 2 seasons?
Well, as you played there, you had the owner, John Middleton, explained it. And, Joe, I don't know how much you heard of it. I don't know how much you really were paying attention or cared about what the Phillies had to say on Friday when they held a press conference to announce, kind of explain the fire of Gabe Kapler and look forward. The owner, the GM, the team president all came off as just clueless in this press conference. It was supposed to make the fan base feel better, and it made everybody here feel worse. So it was explained there by Middleton, the 2 September collapses, which, if I were to make a list of 10 reasons Gabe Kapler could have been fired, should have been fired, was fired, that really wouldn't have been on the top 10. I mean, the roster in each of the last 2 Septembers was terrible. And this year, I didn't even think they really collapsed. I thought they were like a 75-win roster heading into September based on the players they had, and they were like 13-16. Like, it was pretty easy to see coming. The Phillies scapegoated them, to make a long story short. They decided once the season began, they had injuries. They didn't have farm system depth. They didn't have depth in the major or minor leagues. That they were not going to go all in to win once this thing started, and it kind of spiraled the wrong way. And then when they didn't win, they said, well, it's about winning. So they decided not to win. Then they blamed the manager for not winning. It was a bizarre last couple weeks here.
What are Kapler's strengths and weaknesses?
His strengths, I think he is an excellent in-game manager. He will use every matchup advantage to do it, and he won't be shy about, like, and we see this, he's not the only one, but look, a guy's 2-for-3 or 3-for-3 versus a lefty, a righty comes in the eighth inning, unless it is one of his 2 or 3 stars, and he didn't have many here in Philadelphia. That guy's coming out for the guy on the bench that hits the opposing handed pitcher well. He's done this. He did it for 2 years. Same thing with pitchers. As aggressive using a 25-man roster as I've ever seen any manager, really kind of bent the limits to the point where he ran out of players a couple times when the game went 13 or 14 innings, and he didn't have anybody left besides pitchers. So there was that kind of other side of it where he got burnt, but he also won some games doing it. I think he's very strong in-game. I think he's a good communicator. I think the players generally liked him. There were some pitchers, veterans, like a Pat Neshek, who kind of fired back, but I think the players generally liked him. His weaknesses are, and it did not play well here, Joe, in Philadelphia, he is, by nature, overly positive, overly looking at the bright side.
We just had Joe Madden here for 5 years, so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I thought he had, I think this year Gabe was probably told by his superiors to stop that. I thought he tried to fake his way through it. He couldn't do it. And when the going got tough, he reverted back to being positive. The other thing is he let players police themselves. And I'm not sure if he'll change in a second stop, if it'll be a little more tough on players. He's the opposite old school. If you don't run a ball out and everyone in Philadelphia said, you got to bench this guy, he won't bench him because he thinks that guy gives him the best chance to win the next game. And the clubhouse here in Philadelphia, frankly, I have questions about the players and their how much they care. But he allowed that to fester. I mean, last year there was an issue with guys playing Fortnite in the dugout as the team was bad in September. In the clubhouse, not in the dugout.
Yeah.
And then this year there was a sense that these guys just country club, maybe you could use that word. He's not tough on players. I mean, that, if we want to call it a weakness, that is a weakness. But I think he's really good in-game, and the other stuff was part of why people here did not love him.
Joe, the key word at Theo Epstein's end-of-the-season 81-minute press conference was accountability. It sounds like Kapler would not bring that.
Yeah, which is why I'm surprised he's in the mix here. Look, I think Gabe Kapler's a good manager. I think he's going to become a really good one. I think the Phillies have just botched this whole thing and have made a mistake here. And I actually think there's a lot of parallels to what the Phillies did in the year 2000, firing Terry Francona. To what they've done here with Gabe Kapler. I don't know if he's going to win 3 World Series, but I think he's going to be successful in a second stop. But right now, in the moment, the Cubs are, and I heard what Theo said, it is a strange fit because it seems like they're looking for the opposite of Joe Madden right now.
Yeah, it feels like they're just doing a buddy, a friend for a buddy, right? A former Red Sox player, maybe. They hired him, I believe, to coach a minor league team, or manage a minor league team, that could be a possibility, all the connections there. Was Bryce Harper a mistake?
I don't believe Bryce Harper was a mistake, Joe. Here's what I think. I think it was a rare, unique opportunity the Phillies couldn't pass up, whether it be Machado or Harper. But I do think the direction they took last offseason, now at a year of hindsight, and I had my worries then, especially the JT Realmuto trade because it gave the top prospect. But I had my worries, the Phillies rebuild. And it's funny that I'm talking to you because they've said since they hired this front office, they were modeling themselves after the Cubs and the Astros. They wanted to be the fastest rebuild ever. Well, here's the problem. They went in at least a year too early. Their 40-man roster wasn't good enough. So, like, Bryce Harper wasn't the problem. JT Realmuto wasn't the problem. The problem is they don't have anything else here that they've drafted and developed. So they added those players, and they won one more game. They really were a year away from we should spend now, we should push in now. And I think they got caught up in the, hey, screw it, it's time. The owner wants to win now. Bryce is available. And then they just let this thing snowball. They spent a lot of money the last two off seasons. And frankly, Joe, they have very little from the rebuild besides free agents. It's a very disjointed team.
So what they didn't plan for with the Cubs' quick rebuild is, I'm sure, is what some teams don't look at, is everything hit. Once Theo got here in the beginning, he's had his mistakes in free agency since. He's lost some deals since, and we go over those again and again, whether or not we're talking about Darvish, Chatwood, the Quintana trade. Some are going to be upset as they watch Gleyber Torres the rest of his career, but he got you a ring. What they don't bring up is in the beginning, that quick rebuild, they hit on everything, and that is just abnormal.
You're right. It is abnormal. Yeah, I think they were on that, and I think they set a lofty goal. And it's one thing to have a lofty goal. It's another thing to put everything in the basket of achieving that goal. Like, really, if you're undergoing a true rebuild and taking a team from the dark of analytics to the forefront by hiring a guy like Gabe Kapler, what's the difference if it takes you 4 years or six to make the playoffs and stay there? And I think that's where the Phillies went off track last winter when they said, no, it's got to be now. We're ready. And you look at the 40-man roster. Joe, when you get a chance one day, look at it. Look at the top five or six Phillies. Say, oh, those guys are pretty good players. Look at the next 34 that, you know, with the bulk of the 40-man roster. You say, those guys are terrible. And ultimately, the 34 weighed down the six, and Bryce Harper was part of that.
I don't think they're that far off from the Cubs, Joe, being quite honest. The bottom of the roster is terrible, and they don't have a farm system anymore. They're making changes. So I think these clubs are a lot closer than you think, and both of them fired their manager this offseason. Who are they going to hire?
My gut is I'm pushing for Joe Girardi. I think Girardi's a really good manager, and I think at least he blends a little of the old school and the new school, and I think he could be an asset moving forward when they probably fire their GM in a year because this whole thing is dysfunctional. The guy I think they're going to hire, though, Joe, is Buck Showalter. He checks a
wow.
lot of boxes in that he's the opposite of Gabe Kapler. Accountability is probably his strong suit. He is, has a reputation, whether it's the Yankees in the 90s, Rangers in the 2000s, Baltimore most recently, even the expansion Diamondbacks, a reputation for quickly coming in and quickly getting a team from mediocre to really good mm-hmm. or bad to good. He's done that a lot, and he knows the front office, Klentak and McPhail from Baltimore. So I think he's going to be the guy. Ultimately, though, he doesn't like get along with most of his GMs. He manipulates owners. It feels like it's the perfect ending to the story in Philadelphia, which is going to be a lot of disappointment.
Great for you. That'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, he's there short term. So get the next guy ready, an analytics guy
right.
in a couple years.
Right, yeah, the cycle of dysfunction has begun here. When the owner comes in, it's crazy, Joe. The GM here in Philadelphia, Matt Klentak, he fought hard against firing Gabe Kapler, so much to the point that during the press conference Friday, when they fired Kapler, he's still defending the manager that the owner said to him, you're not in charge here, I am, and fired. So yeah, I mean, this could be perfect. When Buck comes in, listens to the owner, doesn't listen to the GM, it's perfect.
Joe Giglio with us on Sports Radio 670. The Score. He hosts evenings on WIP in Philadelphia. Big game on Sunday night, Joe. Things trending down with the Eagles lately, but also with the Cowboys. As they've lost their last three games. You got the Eagles at the Cowboys Sunday night. I know some people were talking about earlier in the week, did Doug Peterson guarantee a victory? Well, God, I hope my coach would say that we plan on winning this game. What's the buzz around this game and the key?
People here are worried. Not so much for the Cowboys, but about the Eagles and the realization that they're not as good as people thought they could be. And a lot of people picked them to go to the Super Bowl before the season. It's not that kind of roster. They if they're going to make the playoffs, the silver lining is, and it starts this Sunday, the NFC East is very good, and the Cowboys have come back to earth because, Joe, I'm sure you're talking about this a lot too. If you look around the NFC, it's as strong as I've seen it, you know, 1 through 11 in years. So I don't think there's a wild card coming from the NFC East. I think it's either Cowboys or Eagles win this division. The other team probably goes home, and the Eagles already lost head-to-head battles with Atlanta, which is they're bad, but it's an NFC loss, Detroit, and now Minnesota. So this feels like a must win really early on in the season for the Eagles. They got to win the two Cowboys games. And the worry we have here is there's a lot of things we like, the coach we like, the quarterback is healthy again in Carson Wentz, but Joe, they don't make big plays on offense. Since DeSean Jackson went down in week one, they have two plays over 20 yards in the passing game, both to a running back, rookie Miles Sanders, and they give up big plays. And the analogy I keep making, it's like watching a basketball team that doesn't shoot threes and gives up a lot of threes, or a baseball team that doesn't hit home runs and gives up a lot of home runs. It's just the Eagles play a very difficult brand of football to win right now. They don't make big plays to give up a lot.
How do you feel about Wentz right now?
I think he's played okay. His numbers are down compared to other quarterbacks in most categories. I know QBR is good. PFF likes him, but yards per attempt, rating, I mean, most quarterback categories have him around the middle of the pack, if not worse. I think he's played fine, but Joe, my worry with him beyond injury has just been, I don't think he's great. I think he's a good quarterback, and right now there's a lot going on around him that is kind of bringing him back down, and I don't put him in the class of Brady or Wilson or Mahomes or Rodgers that can kind of uplift whatever they have around him and usually win. I think he needs a good team around him. And right now, offensively, there's just not much weapons to work with, and I think it's holding them back.
We'll take Wentz if you want to deal him.
No, I don't want to risk it. That's not crazy.
I talked to you a couple weeks ago on You Better You Bet, and you brought up the lack of pressure by the defense, and that was a key. Not as many people nationally talked about when you guys won the Super Bowl with the Eagles, the pressure they would put on opposing quarterbacks. Still the same deal?
No. That's the point, but it's not working. Yeah, that year they won, they basically had 8-man rotation, and seven of those guys were really good at rushing the quarterback. They don't have that right now, and if you look at their numbers, Joe, it's inflated by one game against Luke Falk when he was the quarterback of the Jets a couple weeks ago when Darnold was dealt with his mono. They sacked Luke Falk 10 times. If you take that out, they're barely sniffing the opposing quarterback. It is a problem. Kirk Cousins had time on Sunday, and he absolutely torched them. And the folks here in Philadelphia like to poke fun at Dak Prescott and call him a system quarterback and prop up the talent Wentz has. If they don't get after Dak on Sunday – and I know they have injury issues with Amari Cooper, but if they don't pressure Dak on Sunday, he's going to throw the ball over the field. The secondary is atrocious, and the pass rush here, it's just not what it has been in recent seasons.
Are the Sixers going to win the East?
Yes. People accuse me a lot of being negative with the Phillies late in the season and the Eagles so far this year, but I think the hype on the Sixers is real. Look, Ben Simmons is still an enigma to all of us. He doesn't shoot. I think he shoots with the wrong hand, his non-natural hand, which is the problem. But team's really good, Joe. Joel Embiid is in great shape. I hope he stays that way. I hope he eats right. I love the Horford move. I was so happy they got Jimmy Butler out of here and didn't pay him, but that will help everything around this team. Tobias Harris is a good player. I think the Josh Richardson deal is a good one. They'll get a buyout candidate or two. They're good. And I think the East is worse. I mean, there's obviously no Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. Malcolm Brogdon, who went from Milwaukee to Indiana, they're going to miss him. I think they have their issues, too, around Giannis. I think it's a wide-open East, and I think the Sixers have enough to get to the finals.
See, we got a better Butler, but we had to deal with it for 6 years. How was your 1 year of the Jimmy Butler experience?
Yeah, I was out the minute he walked in the door. I was saying the team that's dumb enough to trade for him is crazy, and look, he had his moments, and I think people really loved him here. A lot of fans did, because when he brought it, he really brought it, and I think it juxtapositioned the kind of monotone or robot-like Ben Simmons, and he was the only guy that was always there. Ben had his good nights, bad nights. Joel was in and out of the lineup. Jimmy was more of a constant, but we watched him every night, and the one thing that stood out to me was, you know what he is offensively. He's good, but his defense really slipped, and when you factored in the personality – there was conflicts there already with Brett Brown early, and him and Ben just didn't complement each other, because Ben Simmons can't shoot. So when he doesn't have the ball, he can't facilitate, he's useless. And when Jimmy doesn't have the ball, he's not as effective. So it became, well, one of those guys has to be the point guard. The other guy stands around and pouts. I never thought it would work long term. He was good here, but man, I'm happy Miami paid him.
Yeah, you knew the defense was going to slip as hard as he was playing as many minutes under Tom Thibodeau. See, that was a positive when he was here. He's playing both ends of the court. He was their best defender, but you didn't want to give him that long deal because you knew, well, this would happen like it did in 2018, 2019. Joe Giglio, WIP in Philadelphia. Joe, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Joe Giglio, some good stuff on Gabe Kapler. The big Eagles-Cowboys game that you guys will be watching on Sunday night. That will be fun. Better than what we saw this past Sunday, I think, between the Steelers and Chargers, even though it ended up being very close at the end. Not much of a game throughout, says the Sixers. Ready for the NBA to start next week? It's coming. It's here. I think he might be right. Trade Jimmy Butler, then you win the East and you go to the NBA Finals. I don't know which team wins it. I need to see the Clippers and the Lakers on the court. See what that looks like. And then they're going to be resting guys. We're going to go through that whole thing again. Maybe later this week I want to do an NBA preview. I got to figure out which teams to bet on with my guy Rick Camp. He became really good at it last year. He would tell me which totals to bet on a nightly basis. We'll go over that. Herb, what's the first day? Tuesday or Wednesday, first game?
The Bulls?
Yeah. regular season?
Let's see. They play the last one more preseason game. Thursday, and so Wednesday's their next
Wednesday.
Their lid lifter.
Next Wednesday.
So it's Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday.
Oh. And I'm going to have fewer shows, right?
Yes.
That's the deal?
Yeah, like Monday Night Football.
Thursday Night Football.
You don't have available next week. It's only Tuesday for you.
That's my only show.
That's your only show.
A remote with Olin Krutz. It'll be fun. If you're in the Tinley Park area, I'm there a lot because that's where I live. Olin Krutz will be doing a remote broadcast with me. All the details on that on the other side, actually. And on the other side, Julie DeCaro will join me for Transition. Her show starts at 10 o'clock. I'm Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall when the Wildcats, led by Big Ten coach of the year, Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale now at NUSports.com. Joe Ostrowski with you on The Score. I mentioned the remote next Tuesday, 1 week from today. It will be at Old Tinley Pub in Tinley Park. Olin Krutz will be there with me from 7 to 8:30. And I'll be there from 6 to 10, brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. We welcome in Julie DeCaro. Her show starts at 10 o'clock. Hello, Julie.
Hello.
You enjoying the
I'm in a really high chair. And I'm enjoying it very much.
I am too. 7-4, eighth inning. Cardinals are hitting. Two runners on and two out.
Yachty just
Hopefully
got hit.
Hudson gets out of this. I mean, he can't have a kid and then give up the game here. Can't
no,
do that.
Not after we all went to bat for him on Twitter against those horrible guys. Yeah, no, he owes it to the rest of us. He's got to pull it out.
David Sampson and who else?
Jay Greason.
Who?
Is that the guy's name? Some guy from, was he like, one of the free presses? Mm. It wasn't Detroit.
Detroit?
But it wasn't Detroit. It was someone else. But yeah, he had a terrible take too.
But there are only a couple of them. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
This is the thing that I like. Go get him, wife. No. This is not a 5K. Having a child is not like, go get him.
Oh,
it is a.
There was a radio host too, somewhere in the South. I forgot. Yeah, I saw his stupid.
Yeah, he was the guy that said I would
he
just
has
be
three
like
kids too.
Yeah, and he was like, his first thing on his Twitter timeline is father. I was like, come on, dude.
And a picture with his kids.
Yeah,
like
they always have that. I mean, usually when they're trolling women and calling them names, it's like a picture of them with their daughter in their Twitter timeline.
I couldn't imagine. Saying, tell my wife, let me know how it goes. Or
go get him.
Text me after he or she is here.
No.
Like, what? Yeah, it's so stupid. Idiots. So hopefully
Idiots.
The Nationals win this game. But I'm not feeling good. We got the bases loaded.
Oh, no.
Out. Oh, my God. If they.
Oh, Daniel Hudson, what are you doing?
I enjoyed Yadi Molina getting hit, Mr. Baseball Police.
Uh-oh.
But now I'm a little concerned.
There goes the text line for you.
What?
Make sure you direct everything at Joe. Because there's always Cardinals fans who listen who are like, you want someone to get hurt on purpose.
Yeah, they texted me earlier. I thought the game was over when they made it a 7-4 game. Yeah, I do think the game's over, but it's in the balance right now. I'm a little scared.
Yeah.
My gosh. Is there any way that it's not David Ross? Is there any way?
I hope so.
I know you're upset about the Kapler. I don't even think he's a real candidate.
Well, if he's not a real candidate, then you should be a little bit more, maybe don't announce that you're interviewing him, because they should care how that looks to their female fans. They really should.
How many times have they proved that they don't?
I know. I mean, after Aroldis Chapman, after Addison Russell, after all the we take sexual violence against women seriously, then you announce that you're bringing in. I mean, if they are bringing him in just to pick his brain about what Philly's doing or whatever, I mean, that's fine. Keep it a secret. We don't need to know about it. You don't need to put it out there like, you're giving him the old shot in the arm.
I think most people aren't even aware about the Dodger story that you're referencing.
Because I'm going to talk about it tonight, believe me. But when, I couldn't believe how many people were like, I've never heard this story. People who work in baseball, people who write about baseball were like,
I don't really think it wasn't reported on much. Right?
Well, The Ringer reported on it quite a bit. It was a big story in L.A.
But that was a long, nationally, though. I think when people hear Gabe Kapler, he's the analytics guy. He just got fired by the Phillies. He's that weirdo that puts ice cream in his mouth and he spits
it out. Yeah, he's super weird for a lot of reasons. he also, tried to throw, what's Terry Francona's kid's name? Tony? Tony Francona?
That's in baseball?
Yes, in baseball. Francona's kid that worked for the Dodgers.
Yeah, I know. When I think about Francona's family, I always think about his dad, but I don't think about it.
Whatever his son's name is, he tried to throw him under the bus, and then his statement about if I'd known it was a sexual assault, I would have handled it more carefully. So just beating up a 17-year-old girl is fine with him. Sexual assault, now it's a whole different situation.
Oh, Nick Francona.
Nick, yeah.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it tonight. Is
he at the
bottom
of your... So he's dead last of all the ones they've interviewed. He's behind Will Venable?
There's Will Venable and then 80 feet of garbage and then Gabe Kapler, yeah. Imagine putting Gabe Kapler in charge of a roster that has Addison Russell on it. Come on.
Well, and then I just talked to Joe Giglio, my buddy who does radio in Philadelphia, about Gabe Kapler, and I explained the Theo Epstein. He said accountability, that's all they're looking for, and they do want experience. I guess he checks that box if they really want it. I don't think they want experience anyways because they're going to hire David Ross. But it was about accountability. I asked him if he brings accountability. He kind of laughed. It's like, no.
Well, didn't they have someone smash something in the dugout, too, for the Fortnite?
He said that at the end of the season, during the games, players were going into the clubhouse and playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
It's a players' clubhouse, going to let them do whatever they wanted.
Sometimes I
wonder. That's the opposite. I think they're just doing, and I'm not saying it's okay, but I don't think he's a real candidate. He's probably at the bottom of the list. He played for the Red Sox, so they're trying to get his name out there for other jobs. I don't even think he has a prayer at this point.
I often wonder how much the Cubs actually Google people before they bring them in. They seem shocked about the backlash against Daniel Murphy. They just seem like whenever something like this happens, they're just completely back-footed. They are just shocked that people are upset about things. And it's just Google is easy. You just Google someone.
Yeah.
Before you bring them in. Yeah. Or before you make a big announcement.
Why do bloggers have more information than you?
That's right.
It's ridiculous.
Every team needs to have someone in their communications department. There we go, Daniel Hudson. All right.
Let's go.
I don't know if you guys saw that, but Molina was given signs at second about a plate where it's an inside or outside pitch.
Oh, that's the right way.
I mean, it's still, it's kind of shady, but if you're not, he's giving location away.
He knows this is the last time they're ever going to be in the NLCS.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and absorb all your terrible texts coming in from Cardinals fans.
It's true, though. Look at their roster compared to the other ones that are still alive.
Tweet them at Joe. Don't send them to me.
Go ahead. I don't care. Because I'll be celebrating the Nationals win. I'll have all the money. What's going on the show tonight?
We are going to – Mark Rohde's going to join me to talk about his trip to foggy London town.
Yes.
As well as what's going on with the Bears. And then Tony Gill and I are going to talk about the NBA and China because Tony had a really strong reaction last night to what LeBron was saying about China. So I kind of want to talk it out with him. So Tony's going to come in and we'll do a little bull stuff as well.
What time is the Tony
He's happy? Coming on at 11. He's upset.
Is he?
Yeah. Did you see his tweets last night?
I didn't.
He's upset. Yeah. LeBron. LeBron's his hero.
Okay.
Yeah. He wasn't thrilled.
I can't wait to hear that.
Tony Gill on China coming up.
Tony Gill at 11 o'clock. Julie DeCaro's here for the next 2 hours. Thanks for listening tonight. You missed anything. The podcast is available on 670thescore.com. Bears fans, you want to hear Dan Durkin. He was in the second hour. He joined me. I'll also tweet out the link to the podcast at Joe0670. Thanks to Herb. Thanks to Mike Chen for producing. I'll be back tomorrow night after Bears All Access 7 to 10 right here on The Score.
And that's how she wrote.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.